You're listening to the Christy G Podcast with me, your host, Christy G. Here I sit and talk with some of the most funny, talented, and inspiring people on the planet. So sit back and enjoy this newest episode. Hey guys, how's it going? I am sitting in Los Angeles and it's freaking warm outside. Ugh, I'm so ready for fall. So ready, counting down the days till Halloween. But I am really excited though to share this episode with you guys. This is my chat with my friend Phil from the company HE Creative. Him and his wife run this really rad company in the UK, and they do this awesome artwork. And if you're not familiar with them, press pause, go on Instagram, search HE Creative. They are freaking rad. They do a lot of really cool art for bands like Alkaline Trio and H2O, and they've done some really cool art featuring bands like Save the Day, Bayside. I mean, they do so much. They have these awesome books, and they just, I can't describe it other than like just super fun. So my friend Jay Baker had been sharing their art a few months ago, and I was like, wow, that's super freaking cool. And so I started following them and we all became friends, and I was like, I need to have you guys in the podcast so we could talk about your art and music, and just had a really fun time talking to Phil. And it's also really cool because this is the first episode I've done with someone out of the country. So I was really psyched because I love British culture, and so we got to talk about that and some of my favorite British shows and his favorite American shows, and the conversation is kind of all over the place. It's really fun though, and we get to talk about how being authentically yourself can really pay off, because it totally did for him and his wife with this company, and it's just a really cool story, and I really hope that you guys enjoy it. So without further ado, here is my conversation with Phil from HE Creative.
Really, but so the town that I'm from is tiny.
Aww.
So, but it's on the way to London from the airport.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of bands play shows here, or there. Sorry, I don't live in the town I grew up in, but so in that town and that area, around in the summer when all the festivals are going on, lots of bands play warm up shows in that town, and the venue is a converted medieval church.
Oh, that's awesome.
So, it's pretty cool. So, the stage is actually in front of the stained glass window.
Mm.
So, there's a novelty factor for, like, bands as well to play there. So, you get these, like, bands come through that are, like, you get, so it's like a venue, it's like a decent-sized venue for up-and-coming English bands. So, like, bands like Gallows and Bring Me the Horizon and those bands, like, all have played there.
Yeah.
And then you get the kind of the festival band on these really strange bills. So, like, I can't remember who played other than there was an English band called Capdown who are huge. I only know them because they have a song called Scar Wars. And I remember, like, oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
And Big Fish. But I remember, like, the cool thing with Big Fish was there was no barricade.
Mm.
And so there was crowd dive in and people dancing on stage, and it seemed like it was like the first raucous like show that I went to.
Wow.
Where people were, you know, crowd surfing and being punks.
That's awesome.
And I went because it was like a punk show when I was 15.
Aww.
And I just, but I don't remember like afterwards, because this is like our generation's difference is I only had my like income as a kid from like washing up dishes in a pub.
Right.
So my money was limited. So I wasn't going to buy a Real Big Fish album because I'm not going to take that gamble.
Right.
When, you know, like there was Sick of It All, Agnostic Front, H2O, and the hardcore bands I was into. I was spending my money with that, and then like trusted labels like Epitaph and Fat and people. I'd buy anything on that those labels.
Right.
Because it's like, well, you know, you'd get the Punkorama, Fat Record samplers, and then find these bands. But Real Big Fish, I only knew they had a like that song Beer.
Uh-huh.
And that song with Gwen Stefani.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, like
that,
and
they were a big one.
Yeah, Sell Out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they were in that like basketball film that the guy from South Park made. So that's like my knowledge of like Real Big Fish on MTV.
Right.
So I can't say that like I'm a fan of that, or even I find that's kind of, oh, this is just going to sound offensive to these people. And I really like Listen Jake, so I don't want it to sound less offensive to Listen Jake, because I think their music's great.
Yeah.
I find that wave of ska really like naughty music.
Like,
maybe it's different if you're American and you went to college and were in a fraternity. Maybe. But for an English person, it's like, there's no point of reference.
Right.
So it's just like a teen movie soundtrack. So.
Yeah. It's like it's Mighty really... Mighty Boss Tones on Clueless. Kind of like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty cool.
That's so fun. So that was in the 90s, I'm guessing, if you're 15.
No. Well, yeah, in like 1999.
Oh, okay. Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah, maybe 98. Like the end of the 80s. End of the 90s.
I remember going to my first Warped Tour. Do you know what Warped Tour is? I know it's an American
thing. I do know Warped Tour is. Yeah.
So, like, at my first Warped Tour, I got, like, lost from my friends, and some random guy was like, hey, do you want to go backstage? And he gave me a pass for a plumber, like a worker's pass, and he's like, they don't look at it, just flash it. And I was like, all right. So I went backstage, and it was during Less Than Jake, and it was so fun. And that was, like, the highlight of my summer, just standing back there.
Yeah. It's amazing. That's really strange, because the first time recently I went backstage was at Slam Dunk the UK, which is like the Warped Tour but the UK equivalent.
Yeah.
And we were there with the Bomb Pops.
Okay.
And so we were backstage with them, and on the Punkin' Drublick stage.
Uh-huh.
And the first band that I stood side of stage of was Less Than Jake.
Aw, that's fun.
How strange is that? Yeah, and they're the best.
That's so cool. I went and saw MXPX play a few months back, and I cannot, he has to forgive me, the singer for Less Than Jake, he has like a side project, I think, or something, and I cannot think of the name of it, but they opened.
Rehasher?
Yes, that's it. And they opened, and that was a lot of fun. I'd never heard them until that great. Night.
Yeah, that's, I got turned onto them really young by a friend of mine who was like, had parents, he was an only child, his parents were super rich, and they just let him have money.
Mm-hmm.
So he had like, back when like in England, I don't know about America, but we used to pay for the internet by the hour or by the minute.
Oh wow, yeah.
So it was like 10 pence a minute. And his parents would just let him be on the internet all day, and like he was allowed to mail order records from overseas.
Wow.
And so he had everything. He had this like ridiculous record collection. And I remember saying to him, like, oh, I love, like, he was like, oh, talking about Less Than Jake. I was like, oh, they're so cool. Personally, my favorite is Roger when he sings, because I really like his voice. And he was like, oh, have you heard this band, Rehasher? He's the singer. He is only him singing. I was like, oh, this is the best thing ever. Aww. Best day. And that's how I felt. Like, I've always been, that's like a trend,
because
I was like that with Blink. I only liked Tom.
Okay.
Like the Tom songs, and then when he did Boxcars, like, this is the best thing ever.
Yeah, that's right. Do you like Angels and Airwaves? Yeah, and then
I liked their first record.
Mm-hmm.
I thought their first record was really good, and it was like really evolved musically. And then they did their second record, and I was like, oh, it just sounds a bit like U2 poppy. And then I think it's maybe because Ryan from the Distillers left. Mm-hmm. Because he was their original bass player.
Okay.
And I think maybe he gave it that, like, kind of groove that it had in the first record.
Yeah.
Like, Ryan's bass playing. Because it's an amazing super group. Like, Dave Kennedy, Tom, Ryan, and Adam on drums is an incredible band.
Totally.
And then each record, they seem to lose a member of that, like, great lineup. So I mean, I don't really know what they're doing now.
I don't either. I've lost track of them.
But yeah, he was like my hero growing up.
Aww.
I mean, I bought his sugar guitars and like his clothing line. I thought he was the greatest, you know, person in music. But now I can tell you what he does.
Yeah. Aww.
Yeah. So, he's not grown with me.
He hasn't grown with you, no. So, okay. I wish, like, maybe, I know I've tried to ask online, I don't know. Do you know who I was talking to yesterday on Instagram about you?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, Scarlett, she's our like helper.
Okay, she gave me all kinds of information about you, and it's kind of fun because I'm like, oh, I'm
Okay,
talking to
cool.
Phil, but I'm like meeting you at the same time, which is kind of fun. But she told me all kinds of fun stuff about you. She says that
Ooh.
she says that you love punk music from the 70s and the early 2000s, but you're unaware of any music that's been released in the last 10 years. Is that true?
That's 100% true. Yeah.
Awesome.
I like what I know and I know what I like. So I don't
I feel
I'm
like
just
I'm the
unaware of
same.
it. Yeah. And it's got to a point now where like I started making playlists for Howard Woods, where I started to put in all the new music that's released each month
Okay.
out into like, a song for each record to try and like get back on track of listening to stuff.
Yeah.
But in honesty, I couldn't care less.
Okay.
I think the bands that I like, best albums have been out already. And then I find like I just go back to that record. I think like the best example is probably Rancid.
Oh God, Out Come the Wolves. I mean
Oh,
that's
that's
that's so
like it's
good.
the I mean it is undoubtedly the greatest punk album
It
ever
really
made.
is. Totally.
So the fact that they keep trying is incredible,
Right.
and the songs from each record that I like and like compile, but I like Dishonor Is All We Know, or Honor Is All We Know, the Green record. I'm not going to listen to that again. Like I listened to it when it came out. I've picked some songs I like from it, but if I'm going to spend time listening to Rancid, I'll listen to Out Come the
Of
Wolves.
course. Yeah. That one's
So just
so good.
yeah.
So good.
Yeah,
Okay, oh, sorry, go ahead.
I mean, they are just great. So that's the best analogy I can really give to how I feel about music in general.
Totally. Now we have to talk about art because you're an artist and you're amazing. I know you guys in HE Creative do a lot of work with bands. Have you guys worked with Rancid yet?
No, we haven't. No, we've worked like it's really weird. We haven't worked with Rancid.
Is it a
I
dream?
can, yeah, it is. Yeah, it really is. Lars contacted us once
Okay.
about working with them, and then we haven't heard back from him. Yeah, it was like in the middle of the night as well. But I mean, yeah, Rancid. I mean, they have great art. They do like awesome stuff. And they also have like people like Dan Smith doing their art for them, so it's hard to kind of maybe get that gig. Plus, Tim's an artist;
Oh, okay.
he does a lot of it. So I think it's like getting into the world sometimes is like tough. Like there's certain bands where they have like an incredible artist in the band, and so it's going to be tough to try and get in. With that, but it's definitely a dream to work. I mean, yeah.
We
Definitely,
gotta make that
they're
happen, Phil.
on our list. I'd love to make it happen. Our PR agent is Lars's PR agent,
Oh, nice.
so yeah, so we have that connection.
Okay.
So
I think it's just bound to happen then. It's eventually.
yeah, I hope so.
Yeah.
We were taken by our I call her our godmother, but our godmother Jen Finch from Grunge Legends L7 took us to the bash last year,
Okay.
and we were like backstage, and I couldn't even talk to Rancid. Like I can't even really look at them. They're just because like we were talking to like Tim's mum, and that whole time, all I could think of is like, oh, you're the woman Tim comes from. Like this surreal thing that a position I've ever been in, and it's like, yeah, I can't look at them. Like even. Let alone like talk to them and be like, oh, we should do some work. Like it's hard enough talking to Jen at times. It's really hard when these like legends become your friends. So and like now, like there's certain like people like we consider like family, like Jen. So it's really hard to talk to these people. But also like because they become friends, you don't want to just be like, oh, by the way, you could pay me to do some art. Yeah, it's definitely like a tough sell at times. So it is trying to do it through that professional,
Right.
thing that, like, yeah, hopefully it will happen. I mean, we have a cool story about rats in our art, because we put them in one of our books.
Mm-hmm.
And when we do our alphabet books and our whatever books we do, we don't get any permission to do it. So we just do it.
Okay.
And then we post them on the internet and tag the bands in with the hope that they'll tell us to take them out before we print it. And then in the back, we just, at the back of all the books, say, like, thanks for not suing us.
That's awesome.
And so when we were, one day, so we put Bad Religion in our last, in our second ABC book, and we got a sale from Brett.
Wow.
We were like, oh, this is really weird. And then, so we'd put an Optic Front in it, and Roger had bought copies of it.
Mm-hmm.
And we were like, oh, this is really strange. And we noticed that the bands don't ask us for free copies, they just buy them.
Aww.
So we were like, oh, this is really weird. Are they buying, like, multiple copies to sue us?
Oh.
Like, one for us, one for us. Because, like, the order from Roger was, like, 4 copies.
Mm.
And then the order from Brett was, like, 4 copies. So I was like, well, I'm going to email him and just be like, thanks for buying the book, because I'm sure he'll be like, go to hell. Or yeah, he'll say, oh, no, like, no problem. I was like, so I sent him an email. I was like, oh, thanks for buying the book. If you'd messaged me, I'll give you them for free. And he messaged back and was like, no worries. Like, I support artists.
Aww.
And then we ended up going over to meet with Brett at Epitaph.
Wow.
And when we were there, he said to us, he was like, oh, I was on your website the other day and I wanted to buy that book, but it sold out. And we were like, at the time, it was fully sold out. And we were like, oh, yeah, it's going to come back. And he was like, well, let me know, because I had a dinner party and Rancid were over and I was showing them the website and we were looking at the book and we were all loving it.
Aww.
And they thought it really cool, and I was like, oh no, this is like, if I was 15 and hearing this, I would have been like, wow. Oh, this, my life's like complete.
Aww.
He was like, yeah, so just let me know when it's for sale, because I'm sure they want to get a copy. And I was just like, oh. And then he said to us, oh, I'm mixing their new album, do you want to hear it?
Oh, wow.
And I was like, no I don't, thank you very much for it. I was like, I was so intimidated. I was like, no, that's not for me to hear. I'll hear it when it comes.
Oh, man, that's awesome.
Yeah, it was cool. So, like, they have seen our art, at least.
That's cool. And are you co-owner of HE Creative, if I remember right?
Yeah, me and Charlotte.
Charlotte, okay. Now, I hope this isn't weird. Are you and Charlotte a couple? I'm trying to figure it out.
We are.
Okay.
We're married.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm glad that's true, because my interview with Chris Conley, I said, he was like, oh, well, who are they? And I was like, I think they're a couple. And so I'm glad I got that right. Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Very cool. That's fun. And how long has it been around? Like, how long have you guys been doing this?
Okay, I'll get it wrong. I think it's 6 or 7 years.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. And it's only been the last 18 months where it's been like this like monster of a thing.
Yeah.
So we were doing much different work 18 months ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. I think I discovered you through Jay Baker, if you know who.
Yes, he reposts everything. Yeah. Seems to repost everything we do, which
he's
is
awesome.
Amazing. And again, was super bizarre the first time that happened. And I was, oh, this is crazy.
Yeah, he loves you guys a lot. And I was like, oh, I need to check these guys out. And I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. Super awesome.
Thanks so much. Yeah, we tried. Like, it's definitely something built from, like, frustration.
Hmm.
But it was, like, so it was cool to do. So, like, the kind of story behind the change in what we were doing was we were doing really corporate work.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And a lot of children's books by other authors.
Okay.
And they were all, I did a lot of work in telling African stories.
Okay, wow.
Or illustrated African stories. So I was working with a lot of black authors and working with a lot of black charities and black-owned charities, and doing, like, record covers for nursery rhymes for, like, African folk tales and this kind of stuff. And it's a really it became this, like, difficult situation where we were very aware, obviously we're not black, and we were taking up space in something that isn't our place taking up space.
Right.
So all the time it felt really hard to navigate through that world because we were doing what we thought was like this woke thing.
Right.
Or just taking work that came our way. And it was just the work that was coming our way. So there was no political real, like, oh, we're doing this for a cause.
Right.
And then the job started to become massive. So one of the authors got picked up by a major publisher. And then we were like, well, we're not really the people that should be doing this. They should be finding a black illustrator to do it because we're taking up space now. And it just felt really, like, disheartening to be in that position because nothing ever felt good.
Right.
It always just felt like, oh, this isn't really our work. Didn't feel like it belonged to us. And especially because they were folk stories and cultural, real, like, heavy cultural stories and things. And we were like, well, we're doing this with, like, a Western style, you know, as white people. And it's not really. And then the publishers and people were saying to us, like, oh, you know, you should imitate folk art. And we were like, yeah, well, why don't you, instead of imitating it, why don't you get someone that does it? Then that's no problem.
Yeah.
So that was a, like, a difficult path to tread. And I feel like we did the right thing. So we started turning a lot of that work down. And through that work, we also were doing a lot of work in the hip hop sphere. So our first ever clients were Kanye West and Pharrell Williams.
Wow.
Which sounds crazy, and it sounds like we're making it up whenever we say it. But we're straight from university. They were my first clients.
Wow.
Well, I mean, their management and record labels. So I'm working with, like, Russell Simmons and these huge names in hip-hop. But that's kind of where my love of it ends. So because we did it for so long, we were getting acts coming to us that I don't know who they are.
Wow.
And I've got no connection to these acts whatsoever. And these, like, young SoundCloud rappers. So, and, like, it's music I don't like. So when we were listening to it, I was like, well, I don't like this, but it pays well, so I'll do it. And then it always felt like, well, I don't think this connects. There's not a connection between me. And then also feeling, again, like you're taking up space in a world that isn't yours.
Right.
There's probably a kid who loves hip hop that would like to do this.
Right.
And I'm taking work. So it was like almost like reverse imposter syndrome. It was like, and it, I don't know if that comes across as, like, arrogant, but it was just like, just not, like, happy to be working on something that wasn't my culture.
Right.
So we started to turn that work away and look for work that was representative of us. Or we were representative of the work. And meanwhile, Charlotte, who builds websites, was working for clients that were complete arseholes. So we got to a point where we actually started giving clients money back. Now, what's really weird about that is that sounds like we're really wealthy and we were doing really well for ourselves. This was actually the worst financial position we'd ever been in. So we started to get into loads of debt. In order to try and do the right thing and also to stop, like, working with idiots on the website thing and these corporate, like, men, you know, that were giving us these horrible briefs, bringing us up in the middle of the night. I had a client actually phone me on Christmas Day to ask for work. So it all become, like, too much. And on, if you go back for our Instagram and you look at, like, New Year's Eve or the 1st of January 2019, I did a post of, like, Charlotte's dad scuba diving. He's like a little, like a bald guy with a big eye behind him, but he's, like, filming a tiny little fish. And I was like, oh, you should keep your eye on the bigger picture, not just look at, like, what's in. And then we were just sat and Charlotte was watching Riverdale on Netflix.
That was really, like, good.
Charlotte loves it. And we were watching that, and I had drawn, like, a little while ago, Betty and Veronica, like, laying on their backs listening to records, like, a few months before. And I was just, like, doodling, and we were talking about how cool it is when she's, like, dark Betty and that, like, imagery. And I was, like, doodling stuff. And I just drew the Misfits face over Betty. And it was the first time anyone liked anything we posted on Instagram.
Wow.
And before, we'd had, like, if we got to 100 likes, we would be like, oh, this is the best day ever. 18 months ago, we had 475 followers.
Wow. Oh my
Nobody
God.
Cared. like literally nobody cared what we did.
Yeah.
And now, like, so then we started, I was redrawing River, like Archie comics and putting these punk things in and just being like, tee hee hee, this is hilarious.
Yeah.
I'm so funny. And then like the first one I did got like 1,000 likes in an hour.
Wow.
And we were like, whoa, this is crazy. Like 1,000 likes. This is like all of our posts combined. And then it's like racking up. And then we started doing, and then like, so when I was at uni, I used to make paper dolls. So I started doing those. Mm-hmm. And then the big shift was like, literally like the, in the 1st of February, Brody reposted the paper doll. And that was just, it just skyrocketed. Wow. I think we got 5,000 followers overnight.
Wow.
And it just went up and up. And it was that, so like the big shift was being true to ourselves.
Yeah.
And also, and taking on the work we wanted and putting out the work in the world we actually wanted to do, which is really strange because we spent 6 years running a business being like, don't tell anyone about this stuff you like.
Wow.
It blows my mind every day that this is what we do.
Wow.
Yeah.
Are you the one who chose to draw Bayside?
Yes.
Okay, so yeah. you like them a lot.
I like Bayside, but okay. I really like Nick from Bayside.
Oh, yeah.
He does the Star Wars podcast.
Oh, that's right. The little birdie yeah. Charlotte told me you like Star Wars.
Oh, I love Star Wars. So, like, Nick, I did a Star Wars podcast. A little while ago, the Rex and Around show.
Uh-huh.
And then, like, every now and again, we scroll through our followers just to see, like, who's following us. And I was like, oh, the dude from Brayside's following me. And, like, I know them. I like them. Charlotte's a big fan. Yeah. And my little brother's a huge fan. And I was like, oh, the bass player from Brayside's following us. And my little brother's like, yeah, he's been following you for ages. Because he obviously follows Nick and sees him liking our posts. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. I wonder why. And then I went on his profile. I was like, oh, he's just all about Star Wars.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I started, following him back and then was like, oh, like, they're a band you don't see people do stuff for.
Mm-hmm. That's
like,
fine.
You don't see a lot of, like, Bayside artwork. So that's I was true. I was drawing that. So a lot of the time, like, the way that the stuff works is I'm drawing something and I'll be, what band could this be?
Okay. That's awesome.
So, yeah, the idea sometimes comes before the band.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, oh, yeah, like, give Bayside a shout out.
Yeah. Oh, that's fun. I don't know, when you were in L.A., were you familiar with LACMA?
Oh, no.
It's like it's a museum of art, and there's like these, like, really famous lampposts in front of it that people take pictures in front of. But it's like walking distance from my house. Well, they're building a museum behind it, and it's a giant dome. It looks like the Death Star. I'm going to have to, like, Instagram it to you. So one day I was walking by it, and I sent a picture, like a text to Nick, and I'm like, hey, they're building a Death Star over here. And, like, that's like only really Star Wars reference I know. he thought it was funny.
I think, is that they had the Mary Blair exhibition?
That sounds about right. I don't know.
It might be. She's my favorite artist.
Okay.
And she had an exhibition.
Okay.
That ended like 2 days before we got to LA.
Oh, no.
And I was so bummed. This happens to us everywhere we go.
Yeah. I still have never left the country. I got to get out.
It's because you're American.
Know. I don't. The thing is, we were planning to go to Europe this year. Like, this was going to be the year. And I'm like, well, that ain't happening anymore. Yeah.
Yeah. It's really funny. Because we've been we've been everywhere,
mm-hmm.
and this is like, I don't want to get in the controversial side of it because it's so boring, but Splash Mountain's closing.
Yeah,
like they're changing it, right? So great, like Princess and the Frog is like legitimately my favorite Disney film.
Aww.
So I was like, I love jazz. So I was like, this is great. I love like New Orleans jazz. So I was like, this is sick. Like, and I've been saying for years that's what they should do. So I was like, oh, this is amazing. This is so cool. And this. I was commenting on this like post. This girl was like, "Oh, I just can't believe I don't get to ride it one last time." And I was like, "Well, they're keeping it in Tokyo, that version, so you could just go to Tokyo." And she was like, "Oh yeah, I'll just go to Tokyo." I was like, "Well, I did. I just went there." And she was like, "It's not as easy for us Americans." I was like, "No, it's easier. You live in LA. It's closer." What are you talking about? It's probably some cheaper for you to go.
That's true.
Like, you can, you are allowed to just go there. And they were like, oh, this is typical Brit attitude, going round the world. I was like, you can do it. You're allowed to do it.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know what's taking me so long.
Stopping you is you. Like,
yeah, that's true.
It's craziness. Like, all our friends in America are like, oh, you travel so much, it's so easy for English people. It's harder for English people to travel. It's more expensive. But for us to go, everything's so far from us. Apart from Europe. But who wants to go to Europe? Like, it's craziness. Like, people in California tell me how hard it is to travel after we've traveled to California. They're like, oh, it's so difficult. I'm like, yeah, no, man. Like, it took us 13 hours to get here.
Oh my god.
Like, and thousands of pounds. How do you think we got here? And they're like, oh, I wish I could travel. And you're like, you definitely can.
I know. The longest I've ever flown is to New York, which is like 5. I'm so bad. I don't know what the deal is. I'm just like a late bloomer when it comes to traveling the world. And I picked the worst year to like finally do it. I'm like, well, okay. Next year, hopefully, I'll go.
Is it? Yeah, it is weird. Yeah.
We watch a lot of, it's super cliche, but American, whatever, mm-hmm. I watch. But we watch a lot of, like, the Big Fat Quiz of the Year on YouTube.
Right, okay.
And I'm just like, I want to go, like, my dream is to go actually sit in the studio and watch that be filmed. Like, I was like, we got to plan a trip to go there so I can be there. So that's about all the knowledge I have.
I wonder what the film. Because it's quite like, I just wonder when they film it, because it's like quite like to the end of the year, isn't it?
So yeah, it's supposed to be a Christmas time show, I believe. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's like, yeah, it used to be, I think, on New Year's Day or New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
I think.
I love it.
But we do watch it. Who's your favorite person on it?
I really like David Mitchell. I like his little beady eyes. Yes. Of course, Noel Richmond.
Yeah, my brother-in-law looks and sounds exactly like David Mitchell.
Really? Yeah. Him and Jay Baker are best friends.
Exactly like him.
Wow.
Like Mark Corrigan. Like, that's how he talks.
That's awesome. And
he thinks things like him.
That's fun. Yeah, most of my friends over here only know, like, Noel Fielding from the Great British Bake Off, and I'm like, it's not the same. Okay. That's not him.
Yeah, Noel's weird, isn't it? Like... He's like a really weird like person, because I really dislike the Mighty Boosh.
Mm-hmm. I've never actually watched it. Like, I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, it's like some real comedy. So like for me, I was like, I don't like it. Mm-hmm. But I really like him when he's just him. Have you ever seen the British show Taskmaster?
No.
Oh, you need to watch that.
Okay.
They get like 5, I think, British comedians each season, and then do you know who Greg Daniels? I don't know if you ever saw the Inbetweeners.
No.
Greg Davies. Greg Davies. I was like the writer of The Office.
Okay.
Greg Davies. He's like this big guy, but he is a very funny comedian, and they set tasks for the comedians to do them.
Okay.
And they're like really weird things. So it's like, I don't know. It could be like, who can kick a football the highest. And it's like puzzle solving stuff, and then they like get rated on their like how good they did it.
Okay.
But Noel Fielding is in one of the seasons.
Oh, that's fun.
And he's incredible at it.
Wow. I found him through IT Crowd.
Yeah, but he's the goth.
He's so good. Actually, we have a Blackmore goldfish, and we named him Richmond. He's like a goth fish.
This is a weird question, but it's at least music related. Mm-hmm. So things like when he's like, oh, the baby's in a cradle of filth. Like, I was listening to like, cradle of filth, not literally. Like, yeah. Not a literal cradle.
That would be horrible.
Do you know who they are?
I don't know who they are. I heard they are a real band.
So this is even more bizarre. I know them.
Wow.
Like, yeah, so they're like, they're from not far from here.
Wow.
So they're like a huge, huge band in England and like Europe. They're like black metal, and they wear like the face paint and stuff. They dress up in like battle armor, and all their songs are about like warlocks and dragons and things. But my babysitter married the guitar player.
Wow.
Or one of them. They've had a million lineups, so he's not even in the band anymore. But when I was like a teenager, in like my late teens, I like would go to like things and see them
Wow.
around and yeah,
That's
just see Cradle of
amazing. That's so
Filth wandering
cool.
around. And they'd come to the restaurants I worked in and stuff. So it's
Wow.
like, yeah, it's pretty cool. But like no one knows who they are. But
That's
here they're
insane.
huge.
Wow.
Like Danny Filth, the lead singer, is like our Marilyn Manson.
Okay.
They like on a on like a British TV show, on like a soap opera or any drama show, if a kid gets into alternative music, they'd be like, "Oh, I listen to Cradle of Filth." Like the joke, I guess, like in America, everyone's always like, "Oh, do you listen to Slipknot?"
Okay,
Like, "Oh, would
okay.
you like Slipknot?" In England, it's like, "Oh, you're goth. Do you like Cradle of Filth?" Like they're like the joke. Like they're not a joke band, but they had that like they had a T-shirt
Stereotype.
that. Like, I don't know if you know this, they have that T-shirt that said like Jesus is a C word,
Oh,
and like stuff like that. And they had a T-shirt of like a nun, a blood of bath, and a bath of blood,
oh, gosh.
with like her boobs out and stuff. And like, so they were like known to be this like dark, terrible band, but their music sounds like Phantom of the Opera.
Wow. I like it in the
It's like
show
it's.
where Noel, or Rich, yeah, I'm sorry, Richmond gives Denham's wife the CD at the funeral, and he's like, it helped me through a hard time. Like, I don't know.
Yeah,
It's funny.
my favorite bits in the IT crowd are either when they're at the funeral and he says like, "Oh, sorry for your loss, now move on."
Oh,
Like that. Sorry for your loss, now move on. I love that. But again, like, what about the football episode?
oh my gosh, that is so
Like that
funny.
to an American.
It's like, there he goes, he kicked the ball.
Yeah,
I usually quote that
I like
during the
it.
Super Bowl because I don't care about football at all. And so
Oh,
I'll be
okay.
like, oh, the crowd has gone wild. Oh, he's done it again. Or, I don't know. It's
Charlotte,
funny.
I'm a casual football fan, but Charlotte's a huge Liverpool supporter.
Okay.
So she supports Liverpool, and they just won the league here. So
Oh,
she's
wow.
really, really happy that.
Aw.
But whenever anyone ever mentions anything about Arsenal ever, I
Yes.
always say the problem with Arsenal, they always try and win. And I say that all the time, and I say to Americans, because they always know who Arsenal are, and they're like, "Oh, what about this team? What about this team?" And I always say that, and no one ever gets it because no one's ever seen it. But
That's
if you
so
like that, you
funny.
should. Do you watch Peep Show?
I've seen parts of it. I need to like really. I've seen like bits and pieces. I need to start it from the beginning because I love David
Yeah.
Mitchell. I love him. So I gotta give it a shot.
Yeah, he's amazing. Do you know who his wife is?
No.
Oh, okay. You should look her up, his wife. I can't pronounce her name.
Okay.
I'll get it wrong. But she does a TV quiz show in England called Only Connect that is like the hardest quiz in the world.
Okay.
It's ridiculous. They like play like snippets of music and you have to find the connection between them, and then they
Wow.
like connection will be the composer all had the same middle name,
Dang.
or like they're all in the key of D. Or it's insanity. And like all, and they're like word puzzles and stuff, and you find the connections. And when we watch, if we get one right, we're always just like the best day because we're like, "Oh, got
That's
one,
so fun.
we got a connection." So yeah, it's
Aw.
that's definitely worth watching,
I
like
have.
that. What about
Oh, sorry, go.
sorry,
Oh, no, I have
no, I
to
was gonna say, what
ask.
about Alan?
You
Sorry,
go. You go.
you
You
can
go.
use that.
No,
I was gonna
you.
say, like, what about Alan Partridge? Do you watch him?
No. You need to send me a
Okay.
list of what I need to watch because I only know like the main ones that I see over here. So I'd really like to know more stuff.
Yeah, it's like it's mad because like all our big shows like Gavin and Stacey and the Inbetweeners, like none of them have like transcended to America.
Wow.
Like they tried to do remakes and they're all terrible. But it's so bizarre, like because The Office obviously is remade,
Right.
and we watch the American Office. Like Charlotte's watching it right now because I can hear it through the wall. But like the show Ricky did after The Office, Extras, that's like completely forgotten. Like, Americans don't know what that is. It's crazy. And it's all like the best stuff.
Yeah, tell me. I want to know. Like, we rather would watch British television, to be honest. Like, we love it. We just don't know what else
That's
to
really weird.
watch.
We only watch American television.
That's so funny. Have you
Yeah.
ever seen, it's not even, it's, I think it's Canadian, but Letterkenny?
No.
Oh, it's so bizarre.
That was right.
I feel like it's kind of up your alley if you like that kind of stuff. But, oh, I want to go back to Big Fat Quiz, though. I don't know, like, who he is in the news world, but is Jon Snow, like, is he, like, super cool over there? Because I love him over here. Like,
yeah, Jon Snow's really cool. He's okay. A newsreader.
Yeah, I was hoping Channel 4. He was good. I was like, I hope he's not one of, like, the bad news guys. But
No. Okay. But Channel 4 is, like, the alternative channel.
Okay.
So England only used to have 4 TV channels.
Oh, wow.
BBC 1 and 2, ITV, and then Channel 4. And ITV and Channel 4 are commercial. So the BBC and BBC 2 don't have commercials.
Ah.
They just show the shows.
Okay.
And we only have 2 ad breaks per half an hour of television as well. Crazy.
Oh, wow. Dang,
for
nice.
Americans. Yeah, great. Absolutely crazy. So Channel 4 was the youth channel. So they had like really cool TV shows on them, like The Tube, where like Nirvana would be on it and stuff, and like L7 and Hole and all these bands, and like these crazy late night shows. But they also show like Peep Show is a Channel 4 production.
Okay.
And it's like edgy stuff, but Jon Snow is their older statesman, and I believe he gives all his money to LGBT charities.
That's awesome.
Yeah, like he hadn't taken a paycheck for years. But yeah, he's really cool. Like he dressed up as Jon Snow from Game of Thrones one time with the news.
That's amazing.
Yeah, he's really cool. Like people love him. Like, yeah, and they ask like I don't watch it, but he presents with an Asian guy whose name I won't be able to pronounce and I'll get wrong. And they ask like really uncomfortable questions of people. Like they'll just say stuff.
Yeah.
Like Trump refused to go on it.
Well, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because he's like so scared that they'll just be like, "So why are you a racist?"
Wow, that's awesome.
Like, yeah, they just can't. Like Jon Snow will just say things.
Wow.
To people.
That's so.
Yeah,
cool.
It's pretty cool.
It's funny because I didn't watch Game of Thrones, and everybody was like, Jon Snow, and I'm like, this is the only Jon Snow I care about. I don't know who the heck they're talking about.
That's really bizarre.
It's so weird. I'm like, American. I don't watch his news. I only know him because of Big Fat Quiz.
Yeah, it's like, so, this is like the equivalent for me. I watch and only get my news from Dish Nation.
Okay.
Now, I don't know if that's accurate for news.
Okay.
I don't know if you know what Dish Nation is.
I have no idea.
Dish Nation is, I believe it's on Fox, and it's just a group of incredibly loud women shouting at each other and talking to each other. Okay. And I fell in love with it because I wear contact lenses and I was having like eye issues when we were in LA. So I brought in, what amazes me in America is you can buy anything you want over the counter medicine wise.
Oh, wow.
So I brought myself every single eye medication I could buy. Including this thing you heated up in a microwave and laid over your eyes to soothe them. And it was like the best thing ever. So I had all this eye medication in because we would have to go back to the hotel like twice a day to like sort my eyes out.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just laying there listening to Dish Nation. And it was so I don't know what they look like, these people. I just know that they're like, they just shout at each other. And I was like, this is how everyone should get their news.
Wow.
Just for someone who like, you know, I assume a gay guy, screaming over the top of each other, and like have a segment where they spill the tea, and I was like, this is great.
That's awesome.
And everything was just a personal attack on the person, and like it would just be like about what they were wearing rather than what actually was the issue. Yeah. It was great. So like
fun.
I fell in love with Dish Nation, and so I listened to that for like years, and it's great. So, but English people don't know what that is. I mean, most Americans don't know what Dish Nation is, apparently. So they keep bringing this up to everyone. Maybe I've dreamt it.
Well, I know there's, like, The View. I think, like, I feel like I don't watch a lot of, like, talk shows. So maybe it's probably huge. I don't watch a lot of things. So I'm so far behind.
Okay.
But
yeah, neither do I.
Okay.
I don't watch the news because it gives me anxiety.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so this is, yeah. I got this as well. That was Toby Morse. Told me that.
Oh.
From
yeah.
I was talking to Toby and I was like, oh, I'm suffering from really bad anxiety. He was like, just turn the news off. And I was like, what? How do you know what's going on in the world? He's like, who cares?
Yeah.
Turn it off.
I,
He's like, if you have anxiety, you don't look at it.
Yeah. I live like walking distance from Crossroads, and I know you guys put a Crossroads logo on one of your drawings once. And every time I walk by there, I'm like secretly hoping Toby will be out front so I can say hi. He's never there. I feel like he's always there.
Just come in. He was always there. Just message him and say, do you want to go to Crossroads? And he'll be like, yeah. Have you ever spoke to Toby?
I never have, but you know what's kind of funny is my dream is to work at that restaurant. I actually work part-time at a restaurant in Orange County right now, which is like 40 miles away. And I was like, it would be really cool to work up the street at a vegan place that's like super rad.
Well, I know Toby, and we know Toll kind of well.
Oh, wow, cool.
Well, not kind of well, but we know him. Like, we say hello to him and stuff. But maybe we can make that happen. If that's your dream.
I tried to reach out to him to have him on my podcast once, and I didn't hear back. So I was like, okay.
But that's Toby. What you have to do, so a good tip is, and he's incredibly interesting to talk to,
okay,
and the nicest guy in the world, is you should see if Rusty wants to do your podcast.
Is that his son?
No, Rusty's the guitarist in Nature.
Oh.
Which is really funny that you said it was his son.
I'm really bad at people's names.
Because Rusty's like older than Toby.
Oh, that's so funny.
And there used to be this like fan myth that Rusty was actually Toby's dad.
Oh, wow.
And people like used to like rip on Toby all the time about this, like being like, oh yeah, Rusty's your dad. And like Toby did a whole podcast about this, like conspiracy theory.
That's amazing.
But he's not his dad, obviously. But it's really funny that you said it was his son. That'll be the first time anyone said that. That way around. But yeah, you should see if Rusty wants you. Because he's super interesting. And Adam, the bass player, is super interesting.
Cool.
And also English.
Oh, okay.
And he's incredible.
Okay.
Sweet. Like, Toby Sumpax is like the coolest, nicest kid in the world.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I wish I was raised as well as Max.
Mm-hmm.
Like, whenever we see him, I'm just like, oh, I wish my parents had raised me that well.
Seriously.
Like, he's absolute testament to his parents. Like, they've done an amazing job with him. He's just the most polite, kindest little person. Like, he's like 17, and like, we walk around London, and all these people like want to know him because of his dad. They stand outside the venue, and he's just so nice and like polite to these people who just come up to him and like, you know, talking so close to his face, they're like spitting in his face. And clearly just want to get to his dad. And Max is like, oh, nice, and like, okay, cool. And present, and you just think, like, I would just imagine anyone else being so arrogant in that position.
Yeah. Aww. It's funny because I wanted to talk to him about veganism. I was like, I know everybody talks to him about the band, but I was like, I would really like to talk to you about that. And my friend Chris posted a picture with him the other day, and I was like, is everyone know this person but me? Like, I swear I can't like get to this person. Like, I want to talk to him so bad. I can't make it happen.
Yeah, he's you should, like, whenever we're in LA, we go to Crossroads with Toby.
Okay.
Because we go there, like, multiple times.
Yeah.
Whenever we're in town. It's the best place ever.
It's so good.
Yeah, and it's the cheapest restaurant in the world. I don't know how they're making any money.
I know.
It's crazy.
The brunch menu. Like, we used to go there at night for, like, fancy dinners, and I went for brunch, and I was like, holy moly, like, this is, like, fast food cheap. During brunch.
Yeah, yeah.
It's crazy.
Well, we only go for brunch and lunch.
Okay.
So I don't know about the fancy nighttime stuff.
Yeah, nights.
But
fancy.
That Egg McMuffin is the best thing
I've ever had. That.
And the best compliment I could give it is it tastes just like McDonald's.
Nice.
it tastes exactly like McDonald's Egg McMuffin.
That's awesome.
And it's so good. But that guy's, like, Toll's a genius.
Yeah. That's so
it's just really funny that you're like, that's my dream place to work.
It is. I go there all the time. I even went and got a Crossroads mask. I was like, I'm going to weasel my way into this place. But it's like the hardest time right now because restaurants are kind of, you know, in a limbo.
I don't want to make you jealous.
Oh, gosh.
But today I was wearing my Crossroads staff hoodie.
Ooh.
The last time we went there, Toby got me a staff hoodie.
That's awesome.
They're like the Famous Stars and Straps design on the back.
Yeah. That's cool.
Rat. Yeah. It's really cool. And like, it's really funny because Crossroads has like a presence internationally. So when we're in London and we're at like vegan restaurants, I always wear it when we go places.
Really?
And people always like, oh, who's this guy?
That's awesome.
And like, people say, do you work at Crossroads? And I'm like, no, I don't.
Aw.
I just hooked up.
That's really cool. I like that.
It is.
That's fun.
It's like a, like, yeah, it's really strange. Like, that's the best thing about, like, with our presence, like, on the internet, because we don't, like, post ourselves on our social media ever. No one knows, we're, like, what we like.
Yeah.
So it's really funny, because, like, I was wearing a Bad Cop t-shirt we designed the other day in, like, our tiny small town, and this, like, young punk girl came up to me and was like, do you know the people that design that live here? And I was like, yeah, I do. She was like, oh, just making sure. Where'd you get? I was like, oh, from their merch store. She was like, oh, okay, cool. Because it would be really weird to be like, well, yeah, it's me, because why would I be wearing my own t-shirt?
That's but, so funny.
Very strange. That's but it's really cool. Strange because people do it all the time. Wow. And, like, it was really, like, the best time ever was we went to see Black Flag recently, and Mike V got us on the guest list.
Wow.
Like, he put us on the list. So we went there and was, like, Mike's guest. And when we got there, there was this kid who used to, like, give me a hard time at school.
Hmm.
He's, like, old, like, thought he was, like, Mr. Hardcore. And he was, like, looked down on me, and he was standing in this, like, balcony bit, which we were told was the backstage, like, the guest area.
Mm-hmm.
So I was talking to Sean, I was like, oh, I don't really want to go over there because this guy's, like, a dick. And I don't want to deal with him. And he kept looking at me because he recognised me. I was like, ugh. And the bouncer came and was like, oh, you need to leave to this guy because I'm going to close this off now for VIPs only. And as he walked out, I walked past him into the VIP bit. And then as I looked down off the balcony, he was looking at Howard, like, HE Creative's Instagram and liking my posts.
That's amazing.
And I was like, ah, sucks to be you right now because you don't know that's me. And so you, this kid you bullied is cool enough to know Black Flag now. Yeah. And now you're also liking my stuff.
Wow. That's fun. That's so cool.
Yeah, it was fun. It's just, like, super bizarre. It's like when we were at Reading, we bumped into someone, like, we were there with the distillers, and this girl was like, who I knew, like, my entire life. And she was like, oh, yeah, you know Brody? And I was like, yeah. And she was like, yeah, well, and said something. And but she meant, like, oh, you know her, like, you know who she is, not you literally know her.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, oh, no, this has gone really bizarre. She was like, so why are you here? And I was like, we're just here. She was like, oh, you're here all weekend. And I was like, no, we're just here just for the distiller. She was like, oh, that must have cost you a fortune. I was like, no, like, no, we're here with the distillers. She was like, oh, yeah, like, to see them. I was like,
you're like, no,
yeah, but also we're here, like, as their guests,
we're with the band.
And she just looked at us, yeah, we're with them now. Yeah, and, like, saying that stuff's really weird. There's a way not to sound like a dick when you say it. But it's really funny when they're people that bullied you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's really funny, like, to see these, like, faces of people be like, oh, that kid that, like, I bullied for liking this stuff that I've now decided I like stuck and was authentic, and now he knows these people.
You know what that's kind of like, but, the opposite of? Is Roy and Alistair, remember? I'm not a window cleaner. Or what? Remember he runs into Alistair in the IT crowd? And he's trying to, like,
oh, yeah.
No, it reminds you of that, but the opposite. Like,
yeah.
You got to see
something really
weird.
Past,
like,
yeah, but, like, because England's a tiny country and they're tiny towns, so, like, you can't avoid these people.
Right.
You're going to see them. And, like, there's loads of people that used to bully me at school who follow us on Instagram and buy our stuff.
And they have no idea.
No, they have no idea. And it's so funny.
You should put a special note in there with it when you send it off.
Yeah, just so you know.
Like a Polaroid of your face smiling.
Yeah, well, they wouldn't, I don't think they'd recognize it. But I think it's just funnier to let them keep supporting our, like, income. Because it's really funny.
It's really,
like,
awesome.
It's really awesome. And I'm sure, like, people that get real notoriety, this happens to, you know, or anyone, you know, gets to do cool stuff, this happens to. But it's just so funny that it's, like, the, you know, that I'll tell a positive story on this. I reconnected with one of my best friends from school because of Toby.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Toby posted our stuff, and then my friend Heather started following us, and I was like, oh, that's someone I
Wow.
lost touch with.
And she didn't even know it was you. She just happened to.
No.
That's
And then,
so cool.
yeah.
Aww.
And then, like, I reached out to her, and, like, we've met up a few times and, like, hung out.
That's so
And that's because of
fun.
Toby. So that's
Aww.
so bizarre.
That's really cool. Man, I have to. I just had a thought. I forgot to ask you earlier about drawing because I feel like we could talk about all this for so long. But so you guys, I don't remember who created it, but the Saves the Day poster art. Well, Chris saw that and thought it was like the coolest, and he wanted to ask you a question for the podcast. And he wants to know what your favorite childhood cartoon was. He said his is Garfield, so he's wondering what yours was.
Garfield.
I know
That's
Garfield's
amazing.
so cute. I love Garfield.
Yeah. I mean, my favorite cartoon character is Donald Duck.
Okay.
Definitely. Like Donald Duck, some Donald Duck stuff. I just think he's super punk. I'm looking at. I really. I don't. Sometimes when I post pictures of you see it, but I really like Snow White.
Oh, yeah.
A real love of Snow White. The film. I'm just going around that office to see if there's anything I've.
Snow White is my Disney
Cause.
avatar on Disney Plus right now because she has.
Is she?
Yeah.
The Mandalorian. I'm obsessed with The Mandalorian. But no, I think Donald Duck's probably my favourite cartoon character. My favourite cartoon growing up. I liked Ren and Stimpy.
That was a good one.
Like, and that stuff. Yeah, and that, like, Nickelodeon stuff, like Rocko's Modern Life and that kind of stuff.
Like Daria. I liked Daria
Cow
back
and
in the day.
Chicken, Daria, yeah, all that kind of that stuff. But yeah, I think, like, I like the old, like, Mickey cartoons as a kid. I liked all that Hanna-Barbera stuff as well. And, like, I really like Captain Caveman.
Okay. I don't think I know that one.
Yeah. Oh, Captain Caveman's the best. Because he just shouts.
He's a shell?
He's like, just like, no, he just shouts. He's like a little
A shell.
furball.
Aww.
With like a mallet. They just, in the new Scooby-Doo film they're making, the, like, CGI animated one, he's being voiced by Tracy Jordan.
Funny.
Or Tracy Morgan. It's not, it's Tracy
Oh,
Morgan, isn't it?
I do the same thing, don't worry. I
It's
was watching 30
Tracy
Rock
Jordan.
last night. Easy to do.
Yeah, I was literally watching it. I was like, we were just watching it today. So I'm
Ooh,
like,
yes. So good.
Tracy Jordan. He's my favorite. That's my favorite comedy character in anything.
Okay. Tracy Jordan?
Because, yep,
Yeah, so good.
because he is me. That is my life. If I had loads of money, I would be exactly like Tracy. Not with a dog fight, but the episode where he has to go, like, he lives in his, like, works from his house, and he records the song called Fat Neck Girls.
Oh yeah. I was
Yeah,
singing
my favorite
that
thing. Yeah, I sing it all the time. Yeah, I won't do it now, but I do sing that
Fat
far
neck
more than
girl, let me count your neck
ever.
rings. Oh yeah.
Yeah. I want to count your neck.
My favorite of his though is Werewolf Bar Mitzvah. That's
Yeah.
my favorite.
Yeah, my favorite. And but I love he's at home and he shouts, "Family, I'm thirsty. Who's responsible for my first?" And that Charlotte will say that to me all the time because she's like, "That's you, because you're not willing to look after your own first. No one else to do it for you." And I always sing the Suicidal Tendencies song, "Institutionalized to Charlotte." I sing that to her every day because Charlotte only drinks Pepsi. And whenever I get up, she'll be like, "Oh, if you're going downstairs, can you get me a Pepsi?" And as I walk downstairs, I'm always like, "Just one Pepsi, and you wouldn't give it to me. All I wanted was a Pepsi." She gets really angry about it. If I could get, if I get to get her the Pepsi, she'll give me this look, and I'll be like, "Just wanted a Pepsi." She gets that, like, a lot. But yeah, Tracy's definitely, like, he's my favorite comedy character
Awesome.
of all time.
That
Like,
show's
he just makes.
amazing.
It is. It's so funny. And, like, it wasn't aired here until recently.
Oh, wow.
We watched it because, like, we were like, we only watch American TV. It started to be like shown here, and now like more people are like, oh, yes, the funniest thing ever. That and Parks and Rec.
Oh, yeah. That's so good.
Parks and Rec's a difficult thing to watch back, though.
It's hard to watch back?
Yeah. Mm. Super hard.
Okay.
Like, the first series is unbearable when you watch it back.
Oh. Yeah, I like it when Ben and Chris Traeger come in.
Yeah, you have to, like, skip through all that.
Yeah,
but there's
exactly.
So much in it that's, like, problematic as you watch it. Like, there's so much that you're like, oh, this is 10 years old.
Yeah. Like, that's true.
Like, it's really, like, there's some really, like, awful things in Parks and Rec.
That's true. I agree.
So, yeah, we've been watching that. And, like, Charlotte loves Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Okay, yeah, that's a good one. Yeah.
And, like, obviously, it's all, like, the police brutality stuff. That's, like, we down and we're like, this is really hard to watch.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Having fun. Like, it's a really, like, weird thing. So, like, but... Like, we do only watch, like honestly, like, that is it. American TV, American, like, because I famously don't like English music either.
Okay.
Which is also, for an English person, can't stand it.
Interesting.
And I like, listen to, this is even more bizarre, I don't like listening to English people on podcasts. So I only listen to American podcasts.
Oh, funny. Oh, my God. That's hilarious.
English accent.
I was really excited to talk to you also because I love your accent. I was like really pumped.
I've got the worst English accent.
Really?
I sound like James Corden. I sound, because I'm from where James Corden's from, so
okay.
I sound like James Corden mixed with Daniel Radcliffe.
I like both of them though.
So I sound like James Corden playing Harry Potter.
Okay. Ooh. You know a British, yeah. I think it's British. I don't know. I get confused. My dad wrote a porno, that podcast. Have you heard of that?
I caught on to that last year. Yeah, that's the only British podcast we really listen to.
Okay.
Like, religiously.
Oh,
we listen to it. So we listen to my dad write a porno. I'm in love with Alice Levine.
Yeah.
I think she's so beautiful. So we listen to that. And we also listen to one called Off Menu.
Okay.
Which is incredible. So, do you know the comedian James Acaster?
Mm-mm. No.
So, as soon as you stop this, you should watch all of his comedy specials on Netflix.
Okay.
James Acaster is probably the funniest comedian of all time.
Okay. James.
He is hilarious.
Okay.
Him and his posh friend, Ed Gamble,
mm-hmm.
and they get a celebrity each week. James plays the part of a genie, and they have a dream restaurant where you pick like your like starter, main, dessert, side dish, drink, and they go through this with celebrities. And it is, there's been points in it where one of us has almost choked laughing. We have lunch when we listen to it. I've spat food all over my computer screen. I one time was actually doubled over laughing and couldn't breathe.
Okay.
It's so funny. I don't know why people talk about food is so funny, but they had the lady who's Susie in Curbed was on it.
Okay.
And they were talking about something, and she just stopped. And like James is quite abstract in his comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And he was talking about some nonsense thing, and she just stopped, and there was a pause, and she went, "Why, are you a fucking idiot?" And I was like, "Oh my, the funniest thing that's ever happened." And he just didn't know what to say. She was like, "No, you're a moron. You're a fucking moron." She's like, "What a waste of my time this has been." And it's just insane. Awesome. It's so funny. He tells the same anecdote on every episode that he didn't drink diet. He's only drank Diet Coke for a year, and now it tastes like regular Coke. That's his anecdote. He tells everyone.
Oh my gosh, that's funny. I'm totally gonna check that out because we've been looking for something to watch at night again, and I'm like, so I'm gonna find it.
Yeah, Off Menu is that's a great podcast, and yeah, it's really good. And I don't know, did you have the band the Kaiser Chiefs? Did they ever make it to America?
I feel like they were on a soundtrack to something. I like the OC or something. That sounds weird, but that sounds familiar.
So we started listening to a podcast yesterday where Ricky, the lead singer, mm-hmm. and Tony Blackburn, who is a really old, like in his 70s radio DJ, mm-hmm. They're debunking pop myths. And okay. they're like a detective agency. So like we listened to them talking about how like Debbie Harry claims she got a lift home from Ted Bundy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, she didn't.
Mm. I was like, oh my God, okay.
Yeah. It's like impossible for it to happen. But it's, they like look into these myths. And so like, is Avril Lavigne a clone? And stuff. And things people say. So that's another good podcast.
That's fun. That's so cool.
And Toby's podcast. If you want to, like, Toby's podcast is genuinely really good.
Yes, I have it on my list. I tried to absorb too many things at once, and then I get lost. But it's on my phone. Like, I have it to listen to. I've just been really bad getting into it.
Yeah, but it's really good. I like that. And do you listen to Turned Out a Punk?
No. Mm-mm.
Oh, that's really good. Damien from Fucked Up's podcast.
Okay, cool.
It's really good. So I only listen to the people whose life story I care about. Mm-hmm. I don't listen to every episode.
Okay.
Because I find that like most punks of a generation is like, well, I went to a record store in the 80s and brought a Sex Pistols album. Then I was really into skateboarding. I met another kid that liked skateboarding and we started a band. That's the origin story for every band that's older than us. Yeah. So once you've heard that from one of them, you don't need to hear it again. So I tend to just listen to people that like interest me, like Laura Jane Grace or like Fallon, those kind of people. And like I tend to trend into the younger people because I don't really care what CJ Ramone's saying about the same thing that everyone said age. It's the same stories. Yeah. So yeah. And also like we all know those things.
Yeah.
It's like I did that piece this week about Keith Morris. Mm-hmm. Coming up to people to tell them his story about LA. I don't know if you saw that.
I don't think I saw that one.
So it was like the pussy Josie and the Pussycats, uh-huh. and like Keith is like coming towards him. He's like, "Hey girls, let me tell you about LA in the 80s." We've all heard it, like, and that is, I guess that is the problem with a podcast, isn't it? Is like if you have someone on it that's like does podcasts, mm-hmm. then eventually you hear the same story mm-hmm. again and again.
Right.
So like, I tend to skip weeks like that. But that is a genuinely, like, Damien that is really good. Cool. Toby's is really good. And Toby's is ad-free.
Oh, okay. Awesome.
It's not, like, plugging stuff. Like, he's not shilling stuff every week. So that's also pretty cool.
That's really cool. I'm definitely going to do that. Because for now, I think we're all just destined to be friends. So I should at least listen to his podcast, right?
Yeah, also, that's, like, legalized stalking. So, like, you can, like, listen to his podcast, find out loads about him, and then be like, hey, Toby.
Totally.
Like, tell me about this thing. You're like, oh, yeah.
That's cool. Did your lady mention that I wanted to talk to you about, like, a couple songs to add to my podcast soundtrack?
No. But
I usually like to add, like, a song or two, like, what you're listening to, and I put it on my soundtrack so people can hear it. So it's curious.
Let me look. We're listening to.
I figure you have some good stuff in your mind grapes, right? In your mind grapes, you get it.
Yeah, let me see. You want a couple?
Well, we always say mind grapes, and people never know what the heck we're talking about. Like, it's Tracy Jordan. I got something on my mind grapes, but anyway.
I was listening. I think I got it.
Okay, good.
Sorry, I was reading.
I was like, oh no, I didn't go.
I've only been listening to. Today, all I was listening to was AFI.
Okay, nice.
Drawing AFI stuff. The thing is, my music tastes really embarrassing.
Mine is too, don't worry.
It's really embarrassing. It's like really, really embarrassing. Like, people will just be like, what on earth is he talking about? You know what's a really good song for right now?
Hmm.
And it'll be good for your audience because, like, Americans won't know the song.
Okay.
But there's a song called Black by a rapper called Dave.
Dave?
Yeah, D-A-V-E. And not... Okay. So this is really confusing. So not Little Dicky, who did the TV show Dave. Okay. This is a rapper called Dave.
Okay.
And he's from the UK, and he did this song called Black, and he basically, like, it's an incredibly moving song, but he performed it at the Brit Awards, and, like, one of the lines is, like, we have a racist prime minister. And, like, it's really, like, heavy. Wow. Like, he just, and it's super punk. Like, it's, like, grime music is kind of like modern day punk really anyway, but like the politics behind it, and just literally to be on like mainstream television saying like this country's racist, and here's the reasons why. And I think like this was, I mean, it was released way before the current like Black Lives Matter movement, and I think that that's a really good song for people to hear. Because he puts things into like a way that I can't articulate. Because I'm not very articulate, if you've noticed.
me neither. I'm so bad. I'm terrible. But no, you're great. I'm not saying that you aren't. I'm just saying I'm definitely.
No, let me say on the studio what we've added recently. Because our tenure is embarrassing.
My, like, I go for daily walks, and then my mixes are all over the place. Like, this morning I was walking, listening to The National, and then it went from The National to, like, Ace of Base or something. It was, so, I get it. It's all over the place.
Yeah, mine is, this is mad. I really like Halsey.
Oh, okay, yeah.
She's, like, my favorite.
Awesome. What's your favorite of hers?
Oh god, I'm terrible with song names. Let me find out what is on here. On here is New Americans, but that's like a really cliche song, isn't it? That's like her big hit. I don't know why. Oh, don't play it. Why won't it go to the artist? This is awful. This is great content. Let me see. Because there's a song on her new record that's awesome. She actually, weirdly, the last thing we did before the lockdown was go to see Halsey.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. There's a song called You Should Be Sad by Halsey, which is her last single. It's awesome. It's got like a kind of a country vibe. Again, it's really curt. Like, I did a whole project about how, like, pop girls in pop music are more punk than punk. Like, I think, like, current female pop music is incredible. There's so many like people that are like crazy. Like, we have a band here in the UK called Little Mix.
Oh yeah, they're on my workout mix like,
too. Oh, they're amazing. Like, four diverse girls. Like, you know, they've got like LGBT members, and you know, people from all different backgrounds and races, and they're like super sex positive and body positive. They're incredible. The last song I listened to was I Miss You by Randy Newman. I also can't stop listening to a song called Good Lovin' by the Young Rascals.
Okay, yeah.
Which is like a 60s pop song, but I keep listening to it because we recently rewatched the whole of Boy Meets World.
Oh, yeah.
At the beginning, because I grew up, like, I loved it growing up, and watched it. Some of it's great, some of it's terrible, but there's an episode where they start a band, and his dad reforms his old band and they play that song.
Aww.
I was like, oh. And his dad's old band are the Monkees. They're played by the Monkees, which is really cool. I tell you what song I think is an absolute jam. This is the problem, because this does, everyone's gonna be like, oh, he does punk stuff, but he's not naming any punk music. I really like that song, All My Friends, by Snake Hips.
Oh, I don't know that one.
Oh, with Chance the Rapper. Oh. That's a great song.
Okay.
I sing it. That's a good workout song. I'm trying to see if I've listened to any punk music other than AFI. Oh, God, I really haven't. I was listening to, I think it was like, it's a long, I mean, do you play the music on your podcast or you just add it to it?
I just add it to the soundtrack, like the Spotify and Apple Music playlist. Oh, okay. I don't know the rules with putting music on a podcast. I don't know if I have permission. Freaks me out.
Yeah. So I don't. It's a long song, but I've been listening to The Decline by NoFX a lot recently.
Okay.
Because it's relevant at the moment somehow, even though it's like 10 years old, which is depressing. That it's still so relevant, but also the music, like the musicality of it, is incredible.
Awesome.
Like, absolutely incredible. And there's, like, little bits on it. There's this bit where Mike plays this bass line, and it sounds like Tool, who are a band I don't like. Like, I don't know much about them, but I was like, oh, it sounds like a Tool song. I wonder if it's, like, they're mocking them or they've ripped off Tool. And then I found out that Tool song came out after The Decline, and the bass player's a huge NoFX fan.
Oh, wow. Hmm.
So, like an homage to NoFX. I was like, that's mad. Built to Spill, I've been listening to loads of recently. And that's super emo. It's so weird. Like, we listen to such weird music. Like, the last, like, when you say this, like, I'm looking through the last songs we listened to. It's I Miss You by Randy Newman.
Yeah.
Goodbye Baby by Fleetwood Mac. In the Mouth of the Desert by Pavement. Disarmed by the Smashing Pumpkins. Burn After Writing by the Benzingers.
Oh, yeah.
And then Gary Gilmore's Eyes by the Abbots and Amoeba by the Adolescents. And then My Best Friend is a Nihilist by Iron Cheek. So it's like, yeah, it's a weird mix of music.
Well, I'm going to add some of those for sure because this sounds fun.
Yeah. It's the problem is like with the punk stuff is I've been listening to this stuff since I was 14. And it's very angry. And it's really hard to have someone screaming at you all day long when you're trying to work.
Yeah, that's true.
On stuff.
I can imagine. Car.
But but today I listened to Black Sails and the Sunset and The Art of Drowning, like, in entirety.
Wow.
Because, like, who listens to music, like, as an album? And that song, is it called Morning Star? The song at the end of The Art of Drowning by AFI, the, like, slow song? Is incredible. Like, it's so beautiful. And I was like, oh, I forgot this song even existed because it's, you know, at the end of an album. And, like, sometimes I think as well, like, it's easy to, like, a lot of people discredit, like, the kind of goth stuff. But I was, like, listening to it all today. I was like, this stuff is so good. And, like, looking back and how young they were when they made it.
Yeah. It's impressive.
Being like, oh, yeah. Like, I imagine being 23 and putting that out. Like, yeah. Crazy.
It's insane.
Like, so, there's also, we've got loads of Avenged Sevenfold on our recently listened to.
Okay.
Because someone reminded me the other day. Oh, I was in the Apple, we went to the Apple store the other day, and the guy Seven had an Avenged Sevenfold tattoo. Like, his art, and I was like, oh, man. I wonder if he's still into that. Like, I wonder when he got it. So we listened to, like, their early stuff and when we remember them. And, like, everything's good.
Wow.
Like, that's aged really well because the production value is so high on it.
That's funny.
So, yeah, it's crazy. So it's just eclectic, like.
Yeah, that's good. I like that.
But, yeah, that's, and also at the moment, we keep listening to the new Hayley Williams album. I've been listening to that loads.
Yeah.
She's got, like, she does some strange vocal things on that, but different, but it's pretty much all good. And the new Bouncing Souls record,
okay,
the new Lots of record. I've been trying to listen, like I said at the beginning, I've been trying to listen to new music. Oh, I tell you who's absolutely amazing, a band called the Nova Twins.
Nova Twins, okay.
Yeah, I've given our stories today.
Okay.
They're black girls from England, and their music is like, it's punk, like this punk, but there's a hip-hop kind of influence in the same respect as there's a hip-hop influence on Rage Against the Machine.
Okay.
So there's like an electro kind of, they use a lot of effects pedals and like blending of the sound, but then there's also a huge influence of just punk. But they're incredible. There's these two beautiful black girls. And I just couldn't... Yeah, someone put us onto them recently. And I can't believe I hadn't heard them before. And then I keep noticing now in adverts and, sorry, commercials and in sporting events, their music's being played.
Oh, wow. That's funny.
Yes, I just didn't know who they were. Yeah, yeah, it's really awesome. So they're worth, like, anyone, because I doubt anyone in America would know who they are.
Yeah, I've never heard, but now they're gonna. I'm gonna spread the word.
Yeah, they're definitely worth spreading the word. If you can spread the word.
Awesome. Oh, cool.
I just feel sticky.
Yeah.
Like a mess. And then, yeah, I spent my day eating Chinese food and being like a slob. Yeah, and I keep looking at my desk, a mess. Aww. I'm sure you got sent a picture of my desk.
Oh, yeah, I did see all those toys. That's fun.
Yeah. That's, for some reason, that's hilarious.
That's awesome.
To everyone.
No, I like it. Every Christmas, I buy my husband, like, those, like, Funko Pops, because he works in the movie industry, so I just try to buy him all the movie Funko Pops. So if you go into his office at work, everybody's like, oh, you have a lot of dolls.
I've got one on front of my... We have loads of them scattered around.
That's fun.
Because it's really weird. Cause I don't want to like them.
Yeah.
But I can't help myself because, like, in front of my computer is the Bride from the Haunted Mansion.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, where am I going to get, like, a figurine of the Bride for $7?
Yeah, it's true.
You know, I've got sort of, like, Taylor Hall, the assistant captain of the New Jersey Devils.
Uh-huh.
Like, where am I going to get a Taylor Hall pop anytime? Like, item that I can put on a shelf anywhere. So, like, you have them. But I was going to say to you, have you been to the store?
No,
Hollywood.
Ah, is it crazy?
It's amazing. How have you not been there?
Is there one in LA?
Yeah, it's in Hollywood.
Oh, no, I didn't know about it. I tell you, I don't get out much.
It's amazing. It's so amazing.
Oh, wow.
I'll
have to find it.
Leave you with it. Yeah, I'll tell you this story because it's amazing.
Okay.
So when we were staying with our friends in... they live in Garden Grove.
Okay,
right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So first of all, we only know what Garden Grove is because of the Sublime song.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So we're like, oh, this is hilarious. Singing the song all the time. And we said to them, like, so when we stay with them, our friend Cam works at Disneyland.
Okay.
So we stay with them and go to Disney and stuff and hang out with them. And then we go up to LA for a little bit and do our client stuff. Mm-hmm. And then we go back down to hang out with our friends and see any, like, people we know around that area. And we came back from LA to watch the Super Bowl with them. And they were like, oh, what have you done? And we were like, oh, we went to the Funko store. And Cam said to me, oh, man, we've got to take a trip up there one day. I was like, it's 20 minutes from your house. What do you mean one day? You could go now and be back in time for the Super Bowl. And he was like, yeah, it's a bucket list thing.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, well, it's easy to tick off. Because we're two idiots from England. And we've just been there.
That's so funny.
What are you talking about? It's so American.
It is.
I told you that something in basically your neighborhood.
No, it's like that. I have friends that don't want to hang out because it's across town. You know, I'm like, oh, like they don't want to drive across town. I'm like, oh, forget it. Like, it's weird. It's weird here. I don't know why we're like this.
Yeah, it's crazy. We went to Charlotte's massive fan of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
And we were out for dinner for my birthday with some friends. And our friend Jack said, oh, did you know the external building is in downtown? It's downtown.
Ah.
It's like next to a bar. And he said, I was hammered one night. I walked out and I was like, oh, that's Paddy's Pub.
Yeah.
And he was like, I went back because I thought I was just hammered, but it really is there. And then we looked it up and Charlotte was like, oh, yeah, it is. And we got an Uber from where we were staying in Hollywood and it was $7. And the guy was like, you're crazy. Like, going all this way. And we were like, we've come from England. This is a 15-minute drive. He was like, oh, man, $7. He was like, oh, I can't believe you're so much money to take a picture of a building. We were like, we've spent £2,500 to be here. Like, the extra $7 isn't a stretch.
Yeah.
Like, what are you talking about? People were like, oh, it's so far. Like, we have friends who live in Hollywood and we're so like, oh, do you want to go to Disneyland? And they're like, oh, well, I mean, it's far. And we're like, well, it's not as far as we've traveled.
Right.
You're all crazy. But the Funko store is great.
Awesome. Okay.
Like, it is really great.
I'm gonna go check
full
it out.
Of giant props and like really cool like rooms and stuff. Like, I thought it was gonna be. Oh, I also thought it was gonna be. It's super cheap in there as well. Mm. You can make your own Funko in there. Make your own little pop. You can get a picture in a big bowl of cereal.
Ooh, oh, that I want to go for right there.
Yeah. That's what I wanted to do. You can sit in, like, they have, like, the Jurassic Park Jeep you can sit in.
Oh,
and, like,
so
the
cool.
Flintstones car.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Is.
I don't know if, like, post-COVID you'll be able to do all that.
Yeah, that's true. I might have to wait a bit.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, we were talking about this. Are they going to address COVID in TV shows?
Yeah, I don't know. I was thinking about that because there's a show called Superstore, and I was like, this would be a great show to address this on because it's about going to grocery stores and stuff. And I don't know. It's definitely a part of history. I'm sure eventually they will.
I imagine Always Sunny definitely will.
Oh, yeah, totally.
And like South Park, who do like, I mean, South Park have got a busy year ahead of them.
Yeah.
Like, a lot. Yeah. But I was thinking, I wonder if it would be like, you know, like Friends never mentioned 9/11?
Yeah, that's true. I didn't think about that.
Because it's like escapism. I wonder if people would be like, well, I don't want COVID.
That's true.
Because, I think like it would just be depressing to see it played out.
A bummer.
Once you've lived. I also hate people saying living through it.
Yeah.
It's really bumming me out hearing people say, like, some people keep comparing it to, like, in England, people keep saying it's, like, the war generation.
Mm.
Like, you're just sitting at home.
Yeah.
Like, you just have to stay indoors and wear a mask.
I know, it's not identical.
It's not going to war.
Yeah.
It's really, really not that hard.
Yeah.
Like, I feel a lot of sympathy for people, especially, like, we've got, like, our brother and sister-in-law have got a three-year-old. And they're working from home.
Yeah.
A 3-year-old, and I get it. Like, that's really, like, nice.
Right.
But then also you get to be with your 3-year-old all day.
It's true.
So.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, it's funny, I said this to someone, I don't know, I think I said this to someone in an interview for a job, like for a client pitch the other day. But it's really funny because I feel for all the bands that have lost their income.
Yeah.
And are like, oh, I wish I could be out touring.
Mm-hmm.
But it will funny to see how quickly those people go back to complaining about being on tour and missing their family on their social media. And I guess I completely get it because you can only, your current situation is the thing you're talking about at the time.
That's true.
But I wonder if it will go back to complaining about it.
Mm.
Or I wonder if you have found a newfound love for a newfound love, a respect for, like, getting to go places and travel.
Totally, totally, yeah.
And so what we're trying to do is help give back to the community, but make the merch that we would be making anyway.
Okay.
Without expecting them to pay for it.
I love that. That's really fun. So that's kind of what you're doing. You're mostly just working on that now? Like, are you making any more books or anything?
At the moment... It's really weird. So we've been re-releasing our books.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah.
And we're going to re-release the hardcore book we did with BJ Peppers.
Mm-hmm.
And the subgenre book that we did. Because when we released those, we had half as many followers as we have now.
Okay.
So there's a lot more people that will see it.
Right.
And a whole new audience.
Okay.
So we're going back and re-releasing stuff, and then we're currently working, so I can't name who it is, but I will do it in a way that you know who it is. So we're currently working with a hardcore legend on his first children's book.
Okay.
And he's from a legendary, like, DC hardcore band.
Hmm.
And it's going to be like a black book.
Okay.
So we're working with him currently, who is on putting that book together.
Awesome.
And then we're hopefully got the project with Epitaph still in the pipeline to do as well, which would be another alphabet book.
Awesome.
So great, like Brett's, like, we just need to put everything together, make sure it's all okay, and doing that. And then we're really like trying to work out like seasonal products at the moment.
Okay.
So like it's so stupid to be saying this in July, but we're looking at like Halloween and Christmas things.
3 months from today, I'm decorating for Halloween. It's October 1st. I'm ready. Bring it.
Yeah. So at the moment, we're looking at, like, last year we did the Give Me the Creeps book.
Mm-hmm.
We bought all pinups. So we're looking at like what we can do as a bigger idea for that. Because I do Inktober.
Okay.
So we might do something like that. Awesome. We've got some more like Riverdale zines, like collections, like the Riverdale Hardcore collections in the pipeline. We're going to do a Christmas card pack this year.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah, and some like other like smaller items. So like Charlotte's working on some sticker packs, patches, and like things like you're going to add on your order.
Yeah.
Because. Okay. Everything in our store is expensive, I think, at the moment. I think, like, the cheapest gets a tote bag or some paper dolls. But when we did the paper dolls, the first sets of paper dolls we did, we had 1,000 followers.
Yeah.
So now, like, today, and we're at, like, 46,000, that's, like, a lot of people haven't seen those products.
Yeah.
So at the moment, what we're trying to do is be kind to ourselves.
Yeah.
And because I create art every day on Instagram, as well as all our client work, so we're trying to give ourselves some days off from doing that and reposting old stuff.
I love that. It is smart. It's very smart.
Yeah,
no. Smart for you also to take a mental break.
It feels like. You know what? I'll be completely honest. It feels really, really lazy.
No.
But I posted that Archie, like chasing the goth girl post. Like for the like fifth time we've ever posted it, and it's got like 18,000 likes on it.
That's like, awesome.
I want to post get nothing like that.
Yeah.
So I was like, this is really lazy, but like, oh well.
No,
like if
awesome.
People are like happy, like to see it. On there's so much to think about with it. I just try not to think about it.
Yeah, it's a lot.
But yeah, do you have any you want to ask before I go to bed?
No, this was really fun. I'm really glad we got to talk.
Yeah, me too.
Really
I love
looking
at your profile and stuff. Thank you. I try. I'm sure I'm not fun.
You are a lot of fun.
I just feel like an old grouch.
No, I had a lot of fun. I was all nervous. I always get really, really anxious before I chat. But with you, it was like within a couple minutes, I'm like, all right, this is fun. This is going to be fun. I get excited.
Awesome.
So. I hope you guys had so much fun with that one. I totally did. And what a fun person. They are seriously like some of the most talented artists out there. And I'm so, so happy to call them friends. And I'm going to link in the show notes all the amazing places that you can go and find them. I'm also going to link the podcast soundtrack. And I added 3 of Phil's favorite songs. And it's super fun. And yeah, you guys, please just continue to follow them and check them out because they are really, really awesome people and so, so dang talented. And yeah, and please follow me on Instagram at Christy G. I'm going to link that as well, and it'll take you all the cool places that you can listen to music and other episodes, all those goodies. Oh man, I think this heat is getting to me. I'm a scatterbrain. But anyhow, guys, I had a lot of fun. And next episode is with my friend Josh Moreau. I have been friends with him for about 14 years. He is a bass player. He, for the last 11 years, has been on tour with Katy Perry. And then he went on to work with Miley Cyrus and then Lana Del Rey. Super, super fun. And I had such a great chat with him. So stay tuned for that episode as well. And until then, have an amazing day. Please stay safe. Wear a mask. And take care of yourselves. Love you guys. Bye. Thank you guys so much for listening. I will see you next episode. P.S. A special thanks to MXPX for providing the music for the podcast. They are the freaking coolest.